Michael McGrath, board member.
Judy Wickman, board member.
Jules Walters, city councilor.
Stephen Myers, Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue.
And then Peter Mahuna from the police department.
Okay. We have the agenda to work off of at this point. Are there any changes, additions, modifications? I know that we're going to let Stefan have a few minutes to talk about the bond issue. If we can wait and see where that falls in the sequence, the good captain has to bow out at 6:30, so if we can get through most of our business, if not everything by then, he'll be in touch with all of that. So any changes to the agenda? And if there aren't any, can I have a motion to approve? So moved?
What?
So moved?
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any objection? All right. Next, we have our meeting minutes from a month ago on February 25. And are there any corrections, additions, or other changes of any sort? And if not, we'll give you a chance to look. Can we have a motion to approve?
So moved. Since most of it was the presentation.
Yeah.
So moved.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Moving on to what has been carried over from a couple of meetings, Chris and I have been advised through a forwarded email that the City Council has reappointed us to the advisory board. We have yet to receive anything directly or official
really?
Regarding that?
Yes. Nothing in writing?
No.
Or?
No.
Okay.
And I probably should have said something before the meeting, but.
Okay.
So it's not on the record, so to speak.
I was at a City Council meeting, and I thought I heard that there were like actual stamp envelope mail letters going out. So if you didn't receive one, then I can look into that.
Okay.
But,
I have yet.
All the former members that were still have terms. You guys are. We're very appreciative that you're still.
Yeah, we had an email forwarded to us that acknowledged that, and it was to the police department saying that we'd been reappointed. We're fine. That's great. But as background, I never got any official word when I first was appointed onto this committee. I found out by reading the Westland Tidings. I had actually merely put in an interest. Actually, it wasn't even an interest card. I wanted to find out about the board. Next thing I know, a couple months later, I was appointed to it. And so, it's nothing new to have not gotten anything.
Yeah, so why don't I look into see what the actual process is
yeah.
and see where it's not, may not
okay.
be working perfectly, and so that we can address that. But I would like to say on behalf of the council and the city staff, thank you so much.
There are a lot of things that take place, and I do recognize that that it is a minor element in that, you know, it isn't impeding us from doing anything, but it does.
It's definitely helpful communication to know whether you're yeah. part of the board or not.
Well, when elections roll around,
yeah,
we don't know whether we're
anyway. With that
on there,
we have yet to finalize, formalize, or even vote on members of the advisory board to serve in our capacity of officers of the board. We generally fill the president or chair's position, vice chair, and we have a secretary who was involuntarily volunteered and is doing a fantastic job. But we learned last year that we do need to have a written set of minutes for our meetings in addition to the audio recording. Most of last year, our liaison from the Youth Advisory Council stepped up and did our minutes for most of the year until he graduated. And so, it reminds me, I didn't turn my volume off. Let me get that. Wrong button.
Providence Clinic, but I know what it's
in. Okay. Anyway, with that, Is there a desire of anybody on the committee, the advisory board itself, to serve in any capacity as an officer chair, vice chair, or secretary of our panel?
Who are we missing?
Mark. And
we haven't refilled Mike's position yet, right?
Mike's position is still open, I believe. And Amy Smith is also a new one, but she reached out to me this weekend. Okay. She had a pre-planned camping trip because it's spring break. So she said, should I rush back? I said, no, I think you'll be fine. We'll see you at the next one, if that's okay with everyone. Amy Smick, Z-M-I-C-K.
Okay.
I mean, we're already a quarter of the way into the year. I don't mind continuing as chair, but I won't nominate myself for that at the same time. So,
is there a list of responsibilities for all of those?
I don't think we have a formalized list, but generally the chair is the one who organizes the agenda, leads the meeting through its process. The vice chair is primarily to fill in when the chair is unavailable, and then the one who does all the work is the recording secretary, who makes us look fantastic.
Have we tried to get high school liaison to replace Evan?
I met with the Youth Advisory Council a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was in January, it was after the first of the year, to see if there was some interest in trying to get a student to partake in the panel. There were several that were interested, but none of them followed through with coming to any of our meetings. I was trying to get back to the youth advisory meeting before we opened up the student driver program. I met with them at one point, and I, just before it opened up, I wanted to meet with again to engage them on it. Their chair was able to take care of that. I could not get over there by the time their meeting started on that particular day. The traffic was just a nightmare. I was stuck in the office until literally a half hour into their meeting. I can attempt again, but given that we are, we only have a couple more months of the school year, if there is somebody who's likely to be a continuing student, say a junior or a sophomore on there, that's not a problem. I will just put it on the schedule and see what Wednesday I can break loose early enough to go over there.
I was kind of wondering if trying to find a scout leader might be a good idea, because Evan was an Eagle Scout, and that's one of the types of things they do for their Eagle Scout is community liaison, whatever.
So somebody that is
maybe
involved.
Eagle Scout that's a sophomore or junior.
Yeah.
Might, you know.
Well,
just an idea.
Let me
record.
Yeah. Well, they're used to taking notes, or should be.
Yeah. I mean, if I could just share for a moment my own observations of having worked with both city and county governments, I was actually kind of taken back a bit when I learned that there was an expectation and a demand of a volunteer group to be producing the written record for that. In fact, how I even acquired this skill was that I was trained and hired to do that for Clallam County for evening planning commission meetings and others, so that day staff could have their day work done. And the same held true for the boards and commissions that I served on for another, granted a larger city than this, but nonetheless it seems something of a put upon, especially for those of us who are doing this with other, you know,
activities
pressures
related
and activities
to the,
related
yeah,
to
the
family.
The program itself, you're heavily into the disaster preparedness material.
You know, I accepted this just with the proviso, I'll do it as best I can fit it in, but it won't be my highest priority.
I mean, even though I, you know, I try to get them turned in a timely manner because I like to do it. Just get
and
it
she
out
usually
of the way.
Does within a day or two.
Well, I try.
And I mean,
can't guarantee.
I do the same thing with the agenda in that
yeah.
usually as soon as we finish the meeting, that's one of the first things I do because it's fresh in my
yeah,
mind.
Exactly.
If I wait,
I
get reminders from Tony saying he didn't give us the agenda yet. So,
yeah. So that being said, you know, I'm willing to serve, but with the understanding that it is not
your top priority.
My top priority.
So recording alone.
So what I was going to say is, yeah, you're not alone in that feeling that way. I'm liaison to a couple other groups, and everybody sort of was surprised by that.
Yeah.
I wasn't there when that choice decision was made. But I can tell you that with our current budget for the next biennium, we're really looking at austerity measures, and one of those is paying staff people overtime to sit in meetings and do okay. minutes. But at the same time, we have some citizens who are really who would prefer that we provide minutes with every meeting.
Right.
So we're it's in that space. And I can
there is technology though out there that can. If the parents go down, they go down. We're trying to get one of those lifelines for them, but Dad won't wear it yet. I guess, you know, there is technology out there that one can do that will put out. It's not the best record if you've ever seen. It'll just sort of put out what it hears, but you can get a written record of a meeting. That's what I was seeing of a number
what,
of
like
the
voice
state
recognition software of some sort.
Yeah, it's yeah. a software that produces, but it is capable of producing a written
speech to text.
And the drawback,
yeah,
the drawback with that though is that much like the recorded minutes, you get this barrage of everything as opposed to the essence that you put down in the actual written
yeah.
minutes.
But it's something.
Yeah,
it's something to look at that could be edited to
so
some
let me talk to Eileen, the city manager, about how that decision was made, because you're not the first one to share it with me, so, and most people don't want to, you know, volunteer at dinner time and also have to be taking notes in the minutes, so.
My understanding was that the way the state law had it written, while the audio recording was, I think, met the letter of the law, the council was looking at something a little more condensed. That was the reason we were given, and I can appreciate that. But it's for the moment, that's a moot point. We need to, you know, fill our positions here, and as I said, I have no qualms about staying on. I will open it to nominations. At this point, if somebody would like to put in a nomination of somebody.
I nominate you to stay on.
Huh?
I nominate you
okay.
to stay on because you're doing a great job.
All right. Any others for the chair, or would somebody be interested in the vice chair, which sounds really horrid. But in the last couple of years, I don't think I've missed more than one or two meetings. So, and I don't think I'd missed any in the last year when I served as chair. So that doesn't mean that means you probably don't have a lot to do.
Can I nominate somebody else too?
Sure.
Can I nominate Mike McGrath for vice chair?
And does Mike have any objections, or are you just going to be quiet? And
I have no objections.
Okay. All right. I for the sake of having somebody in the secretary position, Chris, may I put your name in as the secretary?
With the understanding.
With all those caveats that we
yes.
had.
Yes, you
are
may.
There any other
yes, you may.
Nominations or recommendations or suggestions? And if not, I will move to close the nominations. Have a motion?
Second.
Okay. With that, do we have, I think we can probably vote as a combined slate as far as our current nominated individuals. is in favor of that particular slate. Aye?
Aye.
We have a quorum, right?
Yeah, barely.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Any opposed? Okay, that's out of the way. One thing off. Okay, any updates on disaster preparedness or Map Your Neighborhood or other associated activities, events? Or
yeah, I did a really fun Map Your Neighborhood Wednesday night for about 9 families, and they listened when I said, please don't bring children, and please don't serve coffee and cookies beforehand, and they really focused. It was great. It was absolutely great, and they realized that there were new people in the neighborhood. That's why this hostess had one before years ago, but there were enough new people. And they realized they didn't know a lot of their neighbors, and they were kind of surprised. They had an ER, retired ER nurse who could, you know, do triage. And, I mean, all these talents they didn't know they had, and they all looked around like, wow, these are my neighbors. This is great. So I explained that was part of what Map Your Neighborhood is to, you know, not only be prepared, but get to know the people that you're going to be depending on. But one thing, I do have a 3 more Map Your Neighborhoods in the works, and I still don't have dates, but I wanted to bring this, and I'll stick around for a few minutes afterwards. This is what I show them. I have it on a tripod, and you can look up your own homes. This is earthquake hazards in West Lynn, as ranked by seismologists, and they're color-coded, and you can find out where your home is. The worst ones are the yellow, and the light terracotta or the medium, and the beige is you're probably on rock and you're pretty safe, but you may have landslides over near Merrillhurst up in the hills there. The land is probably going to slide down to Highway 43. Anyway, this map is kind of interesting because this gets people's attention, and they go, well, maybe I should get prepared. So that's kind of one of my little my little props that I use, and that's going pretty well.
Very good.
That's great.
Any other preparedness issues outside of the Map Your Neighborhood program? Have we talked to any other programs or cities, counties, or anything like that? Have we looked at any websites or ideas?
No, I had a call into, I don't know if it was you, somebody recommended a contact, I think it was San Diego, has a really good program, and I can't remember the person's name, I had written down. I left a message and haven't heard back yet about what they're doing. But no, there's no Prep LO. I have 2 people I talked to at Prep LO, and they are, as I've always said, impressively organized about this. Because some of the people that are in charge of it actually own businesses like seismic retrofit and things like this, so they have a vested interest. But the other thing is, Boy Scouts of America, at least at the emergency fairs I've been to and we've had, they have this really cool prepared a 72-hour kit in a backpack form, so your hands are free, and I think it's for 2 people for 72-hour survival, real basic dried food things, but survival. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to make money by selling this the way Girl Scouts do the cookies, and I thought, this is something we really need to get out there, because people go, gosh, I wish I could just buy a kit. Well, you can have in the trunk of your car.
Do they give a price?
If it's during an emergency fair, they cut the price way down to like $50. Otherwise, it's, I think, $75.
Okay.
And
so if somebody were to ask, we could tell
them. I'm going to try to find out, because I have the card of the guy who's sort of one of the scout leaders around here who actually comes to our emergency fairs with 1 or 2 of his Eagle Scouts and sells these things. But I think it'd be great to, instead of pointing somebody to Amazon or Dick's Sporting Goods, to be able to support the Boy Scouts.
Or if we can maybe contact their supplier, and you know, if they pay retail price for it, that a portion of it goes to the scouts that put us onto it.
I'm gonna follow up with that, since I have the scout leader's card and I've talked to him before. Because I think that'd be nice to tell people that. I tell them at these meetings, but I think we need to get more word out there. Like, you know, I know being prepared is hard, and it takes a lot of items, some of which you already have, especially if you camp or hike or something, but there's a lot of people who just go, I don't know where to start, so I'm not going to bother. And once they get a handle, like, oh gosh, I can buy a kit, that's a good start. I can buy water, that's a good start. Okay. Just get them in that direction, and then they start going. Then they get excited about it. And then they call me and say, guess what, I bought my so-and-so. And it's like, good. This is like, oh, my mom. But it's nice.
Quick question, just for the record, so that was March 20th that you had the... That
Wednesday. I don't have a calendar.
That's what I looked. Last Wednesday was
last Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Moving on to our teen driver safety, we ended up sending two students to street survival. I have not heard how they did or what their feedback is yet. One of the people that we had selected could not make that particular date, so we ended up with just the two. One of them was just a pain to get finalized on it. And it makes me want to make sure we are even more thorough in what we're putting out as far as the promotional material to the area high school or potential teen drivers. We only had, you know, three applicants that put in for it, and we had three spots, but it would be nice if we had at least a little competition on that. The fall course, I believe, is in October, so we have maybe a month or so when school starts to see if we can do something at that point. It gives us a little bit of breathing room to get geared up for it, so that as soon as school opens, we can start a push as far as promoting it. Yes?
Well, you know, looking at how many young people were at the old fair, you know, and if we table together again, mm-hmm. that might be an excellent place to try to look for some recruits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just watching what the demographic was at that, especially they're so drawn to come over, a lot of them flirt with the cops and do the wheel, you know, and what a great segue to entering into having an opportunity to take this course.
I still think it's a dynamite program. I did get an accounting back from Karen McCoy from the car club. We have $710 still available, and classes are what, 95 each. So we've got a couple of years before we have to actively search out some additional funds. But
I do like that idea, Chris, because the parents, if they see in bold letters teen driving safety scholarships available, that would get their attention. Mm-hmm. And then if you are allowed to technically put in sponsored by BMW, because that's what got my handyman's teenage son at Westland applying for it, is like anything that has BMW on it is there.
Yeah.
I mean, teenage boys, come on.
Yeah. I almost think that fair is a better vehicle for promoting that as opposed to our
music in the park.
Neighborhood preparedness.
Yeah.
I mean, we tried, but it was like, so what have you got? Oh, okay.
Okay.
You know, some events are a good fit for that promotion, but...
Yeah. All right, let's think about that for the fair, and we've got some time to plot and plan on that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other ideas or topics to have the board look into in this next few months? I know we talked about holding a meeting coming up at the new fire station up on Hidden Springs. Might put that on the agenda for next month if that's a possibility. I'll email you confirming dates and time if that's the case.
Yeah, no, check the calendar.
Okay. And either that month or the next month.
Yeah.
I want to get to the staff updates, specifically the police department, so if you can, in 2 or 3 minutes, you get out of here on time.
Perfect. We hired our three new officers. We actually hired them on Monday, swore them in on last Thursday. And then, so we have about a month of pre-academy workup, so that's super exciting. They're doing shooting and driving and defensive tactics a little bit on the side, so we'll get them off to the academy April 14th, and then they'll be back from the academy 16 weeks later. So we won't
see
16 weeks is the academy. So we'll actually see their faces in less than about August, but at least we got them hired. So now we are fully staffed as a police department. So, you know, give us a month, we'll lose somebody. But right now we're fully staffed. And then on April 2nd, we have interviews for our community service officer position. We had 35, 36 people put in. We're interviewing 12 on April 2nd. So I would anticipate us picking somebody by the end of that week, and then the background, and then, you know, onboarding, and we'll probably hire them, I would assume, by the end of April or May. So, and our current CSO, Peggy Jones, is going to retire on August 1st. So we got a little, at least a couple of months to overlap, and then we can, the new person's going to hit the ground running. So, you guys have any questions about the police department, or?
Just a quick one, but I know you have to go, maybe we could save this later. But, you know, when I read the article about the survey in Portland that was done, the different perceptions that were held about, you know, the community of the police and how the police force there, you know, felt also. And there is kind of this disconnect. I just was curious what the buzz here was like. Is it thank goodness we work in West Lynn, or is
there's definitely some of that.
You can't help but think of, well, what do our guys, what did they think about that? What
I spent 26 years there. They were good years. I'm definitely happy to be here. This is a good time to be here. You know, I mean, you kind of feel bad for the people that are left there, and that there's such this disconnect between the community and the police force, and I mean, they're doing everything that they can do. I truly believe they're doing everything they can do to connect with different communities and, you know, different programs. When they have boards like this to do everything, chief forums, listening sessions. I mean, you name it, they're doing it, or they've tried it. So it's an uphill battle for those guys there, but there isn't a right answer. There isn't the answer is C. Because if we did, everybody in the country would be doing it, right? And communities are different, whether you're in the East Coast or you're on the West Coast, or even Eastern Oregon to Western Oregon, or Southern Oregon to up here in the North. So it's a challenge.
It is.
It's a constant battle of trying to break down barriers and increase listening on both sides, understanding on both sides. Uh-huh. I think the police departments are getting better at owning their mistakes and learning that if you circle the wagons, that's never a great thing to do, because the information is going to get out. And if you had put it out yourself 3 months ago when it happened, you would look better as a police force, and you'd build trust rather than circling the wagons for 3 months and then being forced to release it, but you knew you were going to release it anyway. So I don't get to make those decisions. I didn't make them there, and I don't get to make them here. But that's certainly my recommendation, is police department makes a mistake, we own it, and we get out in front of it. And we say, well, we really need to get better at this, and we'll move on. You know, we're all human beings, no matter what job we do, right? So we all make mistakes. And so that would be my perception of that. Yeah. Long-winded answer, I apologize.
No. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, any other police-related business before the captain needs to depart for parts unknown?
To the Portland Airport.
Oh, fun.
We'll pick up the rest of the family.
Aha.
Thank you. Right. I'll see you guys next month.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Lock us in.
Yes.
Stefan, what can you tell us from the land of TVFNR?
Yeah. It's funny, in the captain's comments, I'm a public information officer. It's my role, which, by the way, I'm on call for that. So as somebody that usually has to go up and speak to the media regarding the actions of an incident or otherwise, I appreciate his perspective, because that's the way it should be. And it makes the job a lot easier and more transparent to our citizenry. So why don't I lead real quick with a couple of updates for the department, and then I'll roll in, if that's okay, to talking a little bit about a funding measure that's coming up in May regarding fire and EMS service. Sound good? Okay. So just a couple of quick updates. One was for anybody that saw over in Mill City in Sanium Park, as you're headed basically over the Sanium Pass, there's some communities over there that were already experiencing wildfire. There's more related to the conditions that were over there. It got windy, got into some areas, but it definitely was a reminder as to that preparedness you can have for your home. And this is a great time, because everybody's thinking about spring cleaning, to think about cleaning up those gutters, getting rid of extra fuels that are right up against your home, and those things that can help allow fire to move into a dangerous spot to threaten your structure. So, you know, there were over 32 people that were evacuated during that situation. So it was just an unfortunate early season event, but a good reminder given what we're doing around our homes right now. The other one was, just want to let you know, Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue participated in a exercise over at Clackamas County. So we joined with the health department. Like Oswego PD was there and their emergency manager and lots of other entities that work together. We do exercises around earthquake. We've done exercises around mass casualty. This one was about what if there was an infectious breakout. So it was really interesting, but it was all these things are really good. And just, I specifically focused on that PIO aspect as to how would we work with our county partners, how do we work with other emergency departments to get information out to people who needed it. So those are always helpful, and we've been making that a regular thing now every May. And the jumping off point obviously started with Cascadia discussion. So with that, that's my update. So I'm going to roll into...
So, I mean, would that be like if there was a cholera outbreak as a result of a breakdown?
Yes.
Was that the kind of the example?
Yeah.
Or what?
Ebola.
It was a weaponized plague, if I remember right.
Oh, okay. A weaponized plague.
Yeah.
Anthrax.
Released at a large concert. And so the question was, how do you get antidotes, or how do you get the vaccination out to people within the communities that are affected and coordinate that with emergency centers in Portland, and as it spread to different counties, you know, how do you address that? How do you do messaging to populations that might not, you know, get it from normal communication methods, those that may be hearing impaired or even just communities that speak different languages. So we work through a lot of those and how distribution. And as EMS professionals, we also have a role in that as well. So there's that component. So anyways, yeah. Just
sounds
minor
exciting.
Things, small exercises.
One more thing to worry about. Thanks for that. Never going to a concert again.
The idea is that you plan for the worst.
Yeah.
And so that's always, it's always interesting to see what emergency managers cook up. But yeah. So, what I wanted to talk to you guys about was a funding measure that we have. My role, to be clear, is to just provide information. I can't tell anybody how to vote on this measure, but my hope is to make sure you know a little bit more about what it is and why it's in front of you. So, you're actually seeing the first draft, which the gal who puts these together said, please apologize to them that they have to flip it that way, the ones that she's having printed on them. So nobody's seen these yet. These are our latest information flyers she put together. So we have, as part of Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue, we're a special district, right, that serves, we serve 11 cities and 4 counties, of which we're really happy to be serving Westland. We are funded as a special district on 3 different ways. So the first one is a permanent tax rate. That's $1.52. That was frozen in 95, 96 when measures were passed, of which that froze permanent tax rates. Then we also have a local option levy. That is 45 cents per 1,000 of assessed value. And then we finally have a bond. And the bond is about 10 cents. 10 cents per 1,000 of assessed value. That makes up what you pay, which is about $2.10 of assessed value. Again, it's assessed value, so if you go on Zillow and check how much your home's worth and times it by that amount, it's going to be inaccurate. What you want to look for is what the taxing authority, the Clackamas County here, has as your assessed value. For instance, my home's, it's like 60% of market value, but assessed value and market value don't always match, and especially in our current economic climate, those don't connect. So during lower times of economy, those can get closer together, but right now there's a bit of separation, so make sure you know that if you are looking to see how this would affect you. So the part that we're coming to you about, and we have to, by state law, every 5 years, renew that local option levy. There's no guarantee of it. So every 5 years, we've got to come to you, and we've got to basically get a report card on how we're doing. That 45 cents is what will be on the ballot for funding. We help break that down or explain that in. That's about 92 firefighter positions for us. It makes up about 23% of our budget, that 45 cents. As a special district, we are 98% property tax as far as funding. So this is a large part of how we make sure that apparatus can get on the road and the amount of firefighters that are going to show up when you call 911. So it's no small thing for us. Last session, when we went to you in 2014, you may have remembered voting for our local option levy. It was actually an increase from 25 cents to 45 cents. That then helped us pay to get up to that 92 firefighters. At the time, it was paying for 42, so we were able to add 50 firefighters on there. Those go to staff, like our station here, 55, and some other apparatus that we've added to our system because our call volume keeps increasing. So we have a need to continue putting more rigs on the road and, when possible, to build stations so that we can shorten call response times. It also helped pay for some fire engines, one of the tiller trucks, again, the one that you see up at Station 55, some medics, and hose, breathing apparatus, and equipment. So while a bulk of it goes to personnel, because that's most of our business, right? We want trained, competent people coming through the door when you call 911. It also helps pay for some equipment and other things that we do to deliver service. In addition to that, it helped us finish construction of a fire station here, Station 55, as well as another fire station within our district, and buy land for future fire stations. So we try to get ahead of where development is going to be because it's much harder to buy land once it's there. For instance, one example would be we serve the area of Charbonneau. We have to do that from Wilsonville, yet they have a pretty decent amount of our calls. Trying to look for a spot right now within Charbonneau that still can respond within the rest of our district and be an asset to everyone, not just to one community, is very challenging. So we also were able to buy some land with that. We also made a promise that in 2014, that increase we had done was the first time in 15 years. We had gone through five cycles at that 25 cents, so it was no big deal when our board of directors said yes. It's okay if we go for 45 cents to meet the demands for service that we have. But we also said we don't want to see every year that increasing again. So we're coming back to you again with 45 cents per the discussion we had with everyone in our last cycle. Again, that pays for that 92 firefighter positions. And then also, as we can, to possibly purchase land. But the bulk of it is we're going to continue that service since it's no increase. We just want to make sure that you're happy with a fast and effective service and that's not impacted by that local option levy renewal coming off of our books, which would be a significant impact. Obviously, getting rid of a large amount of firefighter positions. And, we have some challenges. If 23% of our budget went away, just as you know, you would with your home budget, we'd have to obviously make some cuts and hard decisions. With that, this will be before you in May. The hit is about, for the average homeowner at a $300,000 assessed home, which is the average for our service area, it's about $135 per year is what that amounts to. And we don't take it as any small measure of that cost that taxpayers have to bear, but also wanted to present you with the information as to what that helps cover and pay for. Again, that's just part of what we go through every 5 years, our cycle of putting it before you to continue that funding. Do you guys have questions? I could go really into some more depth.
This is simply renewing the existing levy?
Correct.
Yeah. At the same
rate.
Same rate.
45 okay. cents.
So nothing as far as our tax bill will significantly change other than as it relates to the assessed value.
That's correct. It's
the same as, or would be the same, were this to continue as it exists.
Correct.
Okay.
That's basically an insurance policy. You know, people say, well, why should I pay $135 a year? It's like, you pay for house insurance. It's an insurance policy that you're going to have the staffing and the equipment to respond in case of a fire or an emergency.
And if we don't staff it, that may see our rates go up. Because they're less able to deal with the response.
It's kind of basic math.
Yeah. I mean, given that I just paid $154 to change out the little thing that keeps your tub from leaking,
yeah.
This seems pretty much a screaming deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So over the next month, we're going to be going out, working with Westland Rotary, for instance, to do a presentation, neighborhood associations around here, to get the information out so people are aware of why they're seeing Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue on their May ballot. But you guys are some of the first to hear some of this information, and want to make sure you guys had it before anybody else.
Yeah,
great.
Well stated. Good job there.
Yeah.
Okay. Brings us down to our community comments. We have a visitor tonight. And you have some interest in what we're doing relative to setting up a similar process in Lake Oswego. What can we tell you? Well, what do you need? Where can we help you?
I read in your paperwork that you do not settle disputes having to do with individual officers and activities. So what, I guess I'm wondering, is there something in writing that establishes the boundaries of what you do, as well as how you stay informed on these activities? I can tell that some of you are involved with the
emergency preparedness
that you're able to bring it forth. Does the rest of the community bring questions into you? Issues to look at?
Well, we came about it's got to have been a little over 20 years ago. I don't have an exact date. And the premise of the advisory board, at least from the history I'm aware of, was to be sort of a testing ground or a feeling of what the community thinks about certain aspects or of what the police department is doing. Sort of an extra level of liaison. And we've kind of morphed a little bit from that. That's still a big part of what we do, but we've gotten involved over the years in terms of being sort of the portal of entry for citizens wanting to learn about disaster preparedness. That came into our group before I came on board, which was in 2011, 2012. And that's been a factor that you know, has been years in putting together. The Map Your Neighborhood is our local effort to try and enlighten the community and better dealing with disasters, understanding that they're going to be self-sufficient for a period of time. A few years ago, there was a desire or an interest that was presented about doing something to help our teen drivers, that I think we'd had a few major accidents where some of the high school students had been serious injuries or fatalities. And as a group, we wanted to see if there's something we could do to help combat that, to better inform our student drivers. There's a program that's been around for quite a few years. It's called Street Survival. It's from BMW Car Club of America, I believe, is the parent organization. Through their benevolent program of tire rack, and they have put together a one-day behind the wheel and in classroom program for teenage drivers who have at least a minimum of 6 months behind the wheel, where they're taken out on a closed course. Typically here we go out to Portland International Raceway. They're placed with an instructor skilled on this, and they put their cars that they normally drive through the paces, going through a skid pan, high-speed stops. They're forced to lose control of the car and regain control. And as a result of wanting to do something like that, we ended up getting an endowment to the under our control as an advisory board to sponsor a couple of students every time it comes here. The scholarship, so that more than anything else, we want to get the teens involved and maybe get them to tell their friends, so we're getting more and more students that are attending it to become safer drivers. That's how those came about. And we generally are just getting information about the way the departments that we work with that serve public safety for the city has information to share with the public, or we sometimes bring in information to give to the city. 6 months ago, roughly, we had a concerned citizen who had come in because he had tried. His wife was disabled. In that particular area of town, the sidewalks, the curbs did not have cutouts. She was literally limited to the block that she lived on. And he brought the information to us. We shared it with the city roads department. If you drive back out on Pimlico right now, you'll see they are actively putting cutouts in the curb lines for handicapped individuals. I meant to snap a picture of it and bring it to the group, but they're actively doing that. I have to assume that even though they had things on their list, the fact that that happened so quickly after we brought it up, I have to think we at least had some measure of moving that forward or advancing it. I don't know.
I think, and we try to look at things through a system, not a case by case, but it's sort of a looking at how the systems are working. From the two, as Tom said, standpoints, we boards and commissions are really kind of liaisons between the staff workers and the community that they're there to serve. It's oftentimes, and I've worked on both sides, so I understand there's just things, sometimes it's right in front of you, but you miss because of all those competing things with budget or priorities. And so basically we just said, well, it's appropriate, even though there is a traffic advisory board, but they're looking at flow, we look at safety. So we passed a resolution just saying, look, anytime you're putting together your capital improvement list or anything, please put up any safety concerns that could improve mobility for people so they can participate in their community in a more inclusive way. Please put that at the top. And that was basically what we were looking at. Let's have a protocol that thinks of these things and goes from there. And so that's, I think, where we keep our parameters, are looking at a systems. If something does happen, well, you know, was there a protocol? You know, is this something that we need to look at that needs to be modified and make a recommendation along those lines,
we have no authority per se, but we do have a voice that sometimes is listened to.
Exactly, and sometimes we're the ones that hear and get the reality check. Like there was this perception of all these car break-ins, and then we heard here, well, there weren't any with broken windows. They were all easy unlocked doors, you know. So get the word out to unlock, you know. Lock the doors, because they'll go on to the next one and the next one until they find the unlocked one. And in a neighborhood that's perceived to be pretty safe or into your driveway, that's the case. So that was a way that, you know, we could even share with our neighbors that it didn't have to be as bad as it seemed, you know, if people would just take that extra step.
What is Lake Oswego looking at putting together, or what are you hoping to put together? If it's something we're doing, we're glad to help. If it's something we might have some info or input on, you know, our brains are here to be picked.
There's a total disconnect, and I brought an issue. We have the Lake Oswego Neighborhood Action Coalition, which I attend regularly. Having an incident myself, I brought it up, and everyone thought, no, they'll never go for that. So I'm really starting to create interest now, but it's I'm not sure. Well, we're having staff issues in the city. Our city manager is leaving in June, and there's a disconnect there also. So it's really grassroots at this point. But I'd like to. It's so difficult to find information out. And I'd like some place where a person can go and get information on a neutral basis. I realize there is not secrecy that's required by the police, but when I call Salem, I call people, you just can't get the information at all. I think that's problematic.
What are you envisioning, or what are you hoping to do with whatever you form?
Well, I think a group that meets monthly that handles incoming calls where people feel comfortable coming and asking questions so that they can get an answer that, you know, makes them feel like they can do something about
something,
it.
Somebody's listening.
Yes.
I can't speak, of course, for the other advisory boards. I've never even sat in on their meetings, but I think it's helpful to have something like this where, like, a gentleman came from Westland. He was so angry because there wasn't a stop sign in a particular place. And you can't just arbitrarily get a stop sign put in. You have to do evaluations and engineering and all that. But he came to several meetings, and he was frustrated because it just... his flag was not going high enough to get recognized. And I think one of the advantages of the boards is like the council, they're busy with lots and lots of stuff.
Yes.
And we can be a buffer of, you know, we're hearing the sidewalk issue for that's not ADA compliant, or the stop sign, or the teen driving safety. What can we do to help? And since we're all volunteers, we're not paid city people, so it's not like we're on the city payroll. We are just ears, and we all have some experience doing some of this public safety stuff. And hopefully we can just take that and put it in the ear of the counselors, and they can do what they can or can't do. But at least people get to be heard, and I think you're right. If the citizens just have a vehicle for being heard, sometimes that's the most important thing. And not that it's just going to go into the ethers and never be taken care of, because sometimes they come back and say, why hasn't anybody done this? Well, these are the five things that have to happen first. Oh, I didn't know that. Nobody told me. So I think as a buffer for the citizens, it's great if you can get that going, get the word out there that there is such a thing, and then you present it to, in the appropriate fashion, to the counselors and see what they can do about it, if anything. But I do think that listening, the advisory board people, just hearing the citizens talk about things and just recognizing things. I mean, I saw a disaster in the making for anyone allergic to yellow jackets, which I am, up at the Starbucks, and they have a huge bush with an opening and thousands of yellow jackets right where you roll down your window to get your coffee. And I said, this is an accident waiting to happen. I talked to the manager. He said, oh, I talked to City Hall. They said, no, we can't spray that bush because it's a flowering shrub and it's against the law. And I said, okay. So I called Digby over assistant to the city manager, and he said, no, there's no such rule. It's private property. They can spray raid. They can do whatever they want to. And so I'm hoping to prevent somebody going to the hospital with a sting, and I can't flash my card and say, I'm a public safety advisory board, because that doesn't really mean a lot, but it's just a common sense thing. Let's keep people safe. Let's try to prevent things. And counselors certainly don't have time to deal with a bee-infested shrub at Starbucks. And I do, you know. So I think that as a buffer, it's a good idea, because you can gather a lot of information. And I love Chris's analogy of that, because she has been on both sides.
Yeah, and I think that was one reason why I saw when I was looking around. I've always been a community person. Why I was drawn to this group, because not only have I lived in earthquake-prone Alaska, but also, and survived the Columbus Day storm here.
Me too.
Yes.
Well, house blew down with us in the basement.
Yes, you know, so I had that situation. But also, I worked in community policing in public housing and got very close and saw how well community policing can work to bring it, to really make a change in troubled neighborhoods. And so that's, I have a big commitment toward, you know, that approach to problem solving. And so, you know, that was another reason why I kind of wanted to get to know folks a little better in and around here, even though it's a different dynamic. But
does the Westland Tidings...
And I also worked in mental health and served on the state mental health board. So,
yeah. Does the city of Westland print in the newspaper little incidents?
The blotter? Oh, yeah.
And oh, so yeah. Do you have your own PR person at City Hall that publishes that? Or who?
I don't.
It's written, I believe, by the police department. We do have a new strategic communications person, Alicia Schroyer, who took over for Courtney. So, but I don't think she actually writes it. I think that's something that happens between the police department.
The blotter is essentially a recap of what's happened in the city for a time period. It's usually made available to the public. I'm assuming that whoever is the one assigned to the crime on the Westland Tidings newspaper, that's one of his stops that he does every week or once a month or whatever to gain that information and publish that in the paper, and, you know, barking dog or accident with injuries, any of it will show up in their recap.
I'm somewhat critical of what I see in Lake Oswego because it's presented with kind of a humorous stand where sometimes people who have been victimized don't really appreciate the humor. Maybe it's just me, but I'd like to see it more factual, less entertaining, I guess.
But you know, if it's something in the... what's the Lake Oswego paper? The
review.
Might be something to bring attention to the editor if there's a concern on how it's being put into the paper. It might be that their writer is drafting it in that fashion as opposed to it's coming that way. And he may think that makes it more entertaining, more readable to some individuals, but he may not be hearing that particular concern, may not even be thinking about it. And that would also be something that may fall into the venue of whatever you're looking at creating.
Yes.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, we
Thank
are...
Thank you for coming and sharing.
Go to the order. Anything else?
I just want to thank everybody for having me here. I'm excited to be in the liaison role for this group. I think it's a great group. I've been to a couple meetings before with David, so it's nice to be able to be here in this position. I think you guys are doing incredible work with the different projects. I've recommended people for the teen survival driving, and I got great feedback from it, from the Newmyers in particular. Mm-hmm. I'll go through, and they loved it. Mm-hmm. All the dads are always jealous. Once they get there, the dads are
jealous. It is so frustrating that the kids get this great program, and they do open it up to some of the adult ages, but it's still limited. It's more for the teen driver.
Yeah.
And they will open it up to even the older generation if they have space, but they usually are booked. Literally, when this one came open for registration, I think it was right after the first of the year, had we not had those three spots saved, those would have been gone within a week.
Mm-hmm.
The sign-up was that quick.
Wow.
And that sometimes gets frustrating when we have these available to the students and we get so little response.
Yeah. I think we need to market it to the parents because I think the students, you know, it's hard. I mean, I have teenagers at home.
It's
a
mixed bag.
Like to get them like focused on.
We need to in one of the notes I got, it was, you know, the mom that was pushing the kid to do it. That was a parent from the communication. But I suspect that, you know, once they've done it, it's like, dang, that was great.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter was that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Send me again. Okay.
Well, I love it that you guys do that. I think it's a great program. And I think the Map Your Neighborhood work has been amazing. All the disaster preparedness work that you guys have been doing is amazing. So I wanted to have you come and see how hard you're working. That was one of my goals for this year, was to help support that program and just make it more robust, get it out there, maybe create a task force with you guys that you could help spearhead and just, you know, really focus in on where we need to build it out. I mean, when you look at the maps and the natural hazard mitigation plan that they just presented to the council for the county, it's clear that we need to be prepared. Yeah. So anyway, I'm just really grateful because I know you put a lot of hours into that. It's, you know, it's so important.
And if it's any, just in your promotion, I keep, you know, kind of sharing with folks that, you know, the 9-pointer may be on the coast, but it's very likely that we'll get 7 here. And knowing how my family is still contending with the 7 that hit December 1st in Anchorage,
mm-hmm.
which they had another shaker again on Saturday.
Wow.
So that's creating many geotechnic challenges to places that were already compromised before. You know, it's not over in one shake.
Yeah.
So,
because we've had too many other news.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at that now, at that Anchorage experience as sort of the microcosm for what this area will be experiencing.
Yes, and also not just with a Cascadia type event, but with a crustal earthquake. We have the Bolton Fault that runs all the way down 43.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that we really need to be prepared for, too.
But it's not just the earthquake.
What's that?
It's not just the earthquake either.
Well, right.
Storms, fire. California?
Talk about, you know, our storm we had several years ago where we had neighbors at landlocked for a week.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, how did you understand how you can survive and deal with that?
Yeah. Wind events. We have landslide areas that we need to be mindful of. I mean, you know all of this. So, and you guys are going to be busy, so we can't, you know, if you can get to us, it may be a matter of if you have enough people available to get to us, you know.
Yeah.
So I just am really grateful for that work. So any way I can support that, I would love to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have cards? I do. I have all my cards. And as a liaison, you know, my role is just to sort of listen and answer questions, but please don't hesitate to reach out or let me know that you need more or whatever, or less. So thank you for having me.
Very good. Is there anything else? Go to the order. Other comments?
Can I just ask one other question?
Sure.
I'm very confused, and I've been unable to clarify. It seems there's a trend whereby instead of having firefighters as distinct and police officers as distinct and EMTs as distinct, they are all kind of consolidating towards being police officers. Am I mistaken in that?
Not in this area of the country. There's some areas, East Coast, Midwest, that have done some crossover, if you will, but not necessarily.
I don't know if
there's
still. I think
it would be more in the area of medical response, would it not, than law enforcement?
Yeah, there's just with tight budgets in some areas, they have looked at. It's usually more in rural areas where maybe there's more volunteer fire. They have actually, you know, sworn firefighters to also be serving roles as police officers, but in smaller cities.
I know.
Obviously, in our opinion, it does less than service.
Are they armed?
Sorry?
Who carries arms is also a question.
I'm not familiar with their logistics.
Okay.
I just know there has been some moves in small parts of the country.
I know in Sunnyvale, California, when they first created it, that's a Department of Public Safety that encompassed both police and fire. There's a single chief. I don't know if that's still the case or not, and I don't know if there was an interchangeability of personnel, but there's usually a pretty strong distinction between police and fire, and especially since the roles are really, really different and require a certain skill set that needs to stay current. That the training that the police officer has to undergo to stay current on the laws, current on particular tactical situations, the response to certain conditions or events will dictate what happens to them, which might be an entirely different approach than what fire service or medical has to deal with. There are times where there are overlaps. You'll see some police agencies and some of their specialized units have a medical crew or a paramedic with them, sometimes for their own protection, but sometimes their primary response, depending on the area. LA County is a good example where you've got both the sheriff's department and the fire department that maintain air rescue paramedics that serve the rural areas of the county. But overlap beyond
in
that.
In Oswego, they claim that they send out on a fire call Two firefighters and a lieutenant. Now, is that a lieutenant, a police officer, or no?
Most likely that's a lieutenant for the company officer, or the company officer for the engine.
For the fire
department. Usually you have a lieutenant, driver, and a firefighter.
Okay.
I think that's how they define.
So they have the same titles, but they do things
differently.
Yeah, and the structure would be different. I would suspect that your, I don't know what the total complement of the Lake Oswego Police Department is, but I suspect they only have a couple, three, four lieutenants at most. And they're, you know, might be in charge of an entire shift, morning, PM's graveyard shift, as opposed to being in a position to respond to every medical or fire call. Now, police may be dispatched with them simultaneously, one as crowd control or protection for the crews that are responding, or because it may involve a police effort and they want to just make sure there's adequate coverage, but I don't see much of an overlap in personnel.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
If there is nothing else, Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any opposed? Then I stand adjourned. Our next meeting will be the, what did I say, the 22nd of April?
Yes.
And that is a five Monday month, so we are going to be meeting on the fourth Monday.
Okay, good job.
And if we work it out, we'll be meeting at the fire station on Hidden Springs.
Oh.
55.
Do send us a reminder.
Please.
Well, I need Stefan to confirm that we can do that.
I'm on autopilot.
Do you want me to look into it right away?
Can the, if you can do it this week, great.
Yeah. We just have other community groups that use it as well, so I just got to make sure it's free.
Well, if not that particular month, see if it's available on the fourth Monday. Actually, I take it back because Memorial Weekend falls in there somewhere.
Yeah.
In May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll check. That,
that's the 27th, yeah.
Yeah. And that's normally when we would meet, so. Yeah, we're officially off the clock, but what do we want to do about May? We want to meet on the third Monday, or do we want to push it off to.
I think that's what we did last year.
Okay.
So the date would be.
May 20th? So May 20th would be our second choice on. The
so
fire station.
Probably have a.
You'll have a council meeting.
Oh,
and I also my daughter's graduating from college, so. Find
yeah, your council meetings are usually on the opposite Monday of when we meet. So.
Yeah. If I'm lucky, this is the first one I've had free so far.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it lights up.
The other option is putting it off into June.
Yeah.
And there are.
I do that.
I just tipped the thing. One, two, three, four weekends there. Yeah, I would be inclined to see if we can do it
on the 20th.
On the 20th.
Yeah. Well, we can finalize that.
Well, it may be. Hey, maybe we'll luck out. They can't take us at the fire station in April, but May 20th might be wide open. That'd
there
be our
we
excuse.
Go. There we are. Okay.
Well, do let us know.
I will let you know as soon as I know something.
Who wants to look at the map before
I go? Actually, sorry, real quick. I pulled up the calendar on it. It's free, so I'll get it reserved.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand a word you said.
I just checked the calendar for Station 55 for the 22nd, and it is free.
Okay.
So I'll get that reserved for you.
Okay. Good enough.
Luckily we have
there was just enough echo that I just couldn't hear what you said.
That's okay.